All right, welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara, you got any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So Oklahoma's bounty on Bigfoot has grown to $2 million after only a few weeks after a bill was introduced in the state legislature proposing a $25,000 bounty for the creature. The law never made it through committee, but the $2 million was put up by an upcoming Hollywood production, eliminating the need for state funding. Sasquatchers are required to capture Bigfoot unharmed and are not permitted to injure anyone or break any laws in the process of the capture if they wish to collect the bounty. Representative Justin Humphrey, who originally proposed the bill, has stated that the goal is to draw tourism into the state. A mysterious black animal has been spotted multiple times in Christian County, Missouri, and recorded on game and driveway cameras. The beast was described as moving like a cat, but being over 100 pounds with light brown spots. Numerous cats and dogs have also been missing in the area. Some kind of melanistic cougar or the appearance of another cryptid? Only time will tell. And researchers from the Australian National University have discovered a new layer of the Earth's core using an algorithm that analyzes models of the Earth and time travel data for seismic waves. They found differences in the iron of the core around 650 miles from the center of the Earth, which may indicate two separate cooling events in Earth's history. If these findings are confirmed, it could show we know less about what goes on underneath our feet than we thought. That's it.
Back to me then?
Yeah, back to you, Chauncey.
We're going back to Chauncey in the weather room. Yeah. Okay, $2 million bounty for Oklahoma. I like how they had to put in all the stipulations of, like, don't break the law. Because, like, at first I'm thinking, like, you know, you might be too young, but through the 70s, maybe a little bit into the 80s, they had a lot of these sort of, like, road race movies. Definitely during the 60s, like, it's a mad world and stuff like that. And they were sort of, like, celebrity road race movies. Or like the Laugh Olympics. I just imagined like this Shimmeron style land grab, you know, for the like 40 acres and a mule land grab or whatever, of these people in trucks just going out to get them a Bigfoot body.
Yeah. You know, cut down all the trees.
Right. Yeah. It's worth the $2 million.
Right, yeah.
So
I mean, it was only 25,000. So originally it was like, okay, maybe not worth it, but
you know, it's amazing what gets to court, you know, what gets to even be considered a law.
That's true.
And I'm not necessarily coming down on these guys. I feel like this about a lot of laws and most people would say, yeah, too, is that like, don't we have like bigger fish to fry than dealing with this, you know? I mean, this is probably very taboo, but I was kind of even that way with seatbelts. I'm all like, isn't there somewhere we could be?
Seatbelt laws do actually like save a lot of lives though.
I'm not doubting that, but you know, I mean, tie me to my chair. I mean, I wouldn't die because I'd be here, you know? So I don't know. It just kind of felt like there are other, feels like we're sort of ignoring the more important things and deciding to go for Bigfoot. I don't mean as people.
I think, spend your lifetime like you want to.
I just spent on a government level.
I think actually our legislatures do that a lot. Like we think, okay, Congress is so gridlocked that they will never get anything done. I'm talking federal government now, not state legislature, but they pass laws all the time.
Sure.
It's just when you look up what those laws are, they're just stupid stuff, you know,
because
that's all they can agree on. So
taxation stuff.
Right. Yeah. So
and it's
I feel
a
like
weird combination of taxation and chewing gum. And you're all like, oh, yeah, I see the connection.
Well, or it's, you know, stuff like our soldiers will store the flag this way and not this way, you know, stuff that really doesn't matter. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Again,
so
I would put that in then. Maybe we'll deal with that when we get the big stuff taken care of.
Yeah, well, they do that stuff, so, like, because, like, there will never be any agreement on the big issues, so it's like, well, we're just here. You want to pass some laws about flags.
Basically, it's like 16-year-old Chaunce working at the taco shop, sweeping the same corner over and over because he doesn't want to have to do the big work. Is that what you're saying?
It's literally just the congressional equivalent of if you've got time to lean, you've got time to clean.
Oh, God.
I know, right?
Yeah. That makes sense, though. You know, when you started saying it, I started knowing where you were going because it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. Mysterious black animal. Black with dark brown spots? That's interesting.
Maybe. In one of the sightings, that's what was reported. But there were a couple sightings. So.
It's like Negalink. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's like the negative jaguar. That thing's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting it'll turn out to be a normal animal, but, like, this is how cryptid sightings happen.
Right.
Like, this is like a very early Beast of Bray Road. So I wanted to talk about it just to get in on the ground floor. Like, because if this thing becomes big, you know, the freaking werecat of Christian County, we can be like, hey, we reported on that.
Totally.
So it's cool, you know.
Now known as Kittrick, werecat of Christian County.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not saying they would name that for me, but I did talk.
Felinicus Kittrickus. Yeah.
Anyway, so, melanistic animals do exist, basically the opposite of albino, but I looked at the pictures. It's kind of freaky looking. It's hard to tell what this thing is. None of the pictures are super clear, but it kind of just looks like a big shadow with glowing eyes.
Hmm. Yeah, well, now that I know that Pablo Escobar basically had four hippos that had an inbred love fest so much to the point that there's now 80 hippos running around somewhere in South America or Central America, I don't believe nothing anymore. It might be a hippo. You know, might be a rogue inbred hippo from...
I don't think it's a hippo, but yeah. I think it might be an animal.
Yeah, but this is true. I'm not making this up, man. His zoo animals, his hippos, four hippos turned into like 60 or 80 hippos. You know, that's a lot of...
That's
a small gene pool.
Hippos are real aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want... Wild hippos are bad news.
Apparently it's working out for the land around there, though, because they're grazing and they're excreting and they're stomping on stuff is actually kind of working out for the
agriculture.
Yeah.
But how do you, like, farm in an area where there's a bunch of hippos?
Very carefully. You know? Very.
Yeah, very carefully.
All right. And then finally, a new layer to the Earth's core. I love how you ended this one, and if we did discover this, then we found out that we don't know as much as we thought we do. We basically have a discovery of that we didn't know.
Well, I feel like...
Less.
Look,
I guess every time there's a discovery, there's that on some level.
Look, schools have been teaching, you know, there's the crust, the mantle, the core, you know, four layers, because I forget what the other one is. To the earth.
The mantle, the crust, the core.
Whatever.
The wet part.
No, that's the mantle.
No, the mantle is between the crust and the wet part.
Oh, is that right?
The mantle is like the basalt rock we can't get through, isn't it?
Oh.
I don't know. I might be
okay.
Wrong on this.
Well, I don't know either. The point is that, you know, a whole new layer of earth, that's...
Yeah.
A large change to our understanding. And I feel like this kind of thing is a boon to the, like, Hollow Earth people.
Hmm.
We haven't had a whole lot of those folks on. But, hard to know.
It does create the possibility that the planet was an actual planet of a smaller size at one point.
Yeah, it does.
Because that's kind of what they're saying, I assume.
Right, a separate cooling event. So, right. Yeah.
So maybe that's when the molten rock men first established their civilization. Yeah. They had to go underground at that point when the other planet hit. And, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It up. Now four Molten Rock Men, or like 80 Molten Rock Men down there, you know, trampling on stuff, you know, helping the agriculture, but still, that's a small gene pool. Wait a second, haven't we already said this?
Yeah.
We just all right, went you're from listening.
Hippos to lava hippos.
You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Zen Beneful about just about everything. So don't miss out on that. You'll learn how to calm yourself while growing personal riches.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slate, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR 1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. It's growing time for the Trees of Heavenly Light. They are also known as Chinese locust trees, trees of heaven, China sumac. They are native to China but are found in many places in Shasta County, especially the areas of the 1849 gold rush where the Chinese lived and mined. Archaeologists believe seeds of the trees were innocently brought here by the Chinese miners in their hats and mats. Once they got hold, they multiplied and multiplied. They have a good root system. It's hard to stop because it sends out runners in every direction. The young shoots look like giant asparagus, but quickly put out leaves. The young trees have an odor that many find offensive. These trees can be found by the thousands in the town of Shasta throughout the gold mining districts and in many places where you wouldn't expect them. This moment in history was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this or exciting books by Dottie, find Dottie Smith on Amazon Books or go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean, healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest tonight is Zen Beneful. All right. You know, when...
It's all downhill from here, folks. Okay. We just peaked with the level of quality. We're going to have on this.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'll fit right in.
To be fair, to give me a break, it is spelt oddly, and, you know, it's got the... I don't know. It's a spelling I've never seen before.
It looks to be...
Well, I'm quite unique, so...
All right. Let's start out with that. Let's start out with your uniqueness. You know, I was reading your bio, and you have an interesting interesting bio that seems to be somewhere between the metaphysical, for lack of a better word, and the business industrious, you know? How would you put yourself in this world?
I play well in both worlds. Part of my metaphysical background meant that, hey, you've got to make it practical and pragmatic. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, you have to practice it. And I love standing in the middle of chaos and creating order or facilitating order. I've done that most of my professional career. I started out in the aerospace industry as a production control coordinator in charge of $7 million a month in shipments and 800 part numbers. Mm. So, over the years, I got involved in doing partnering sessions for building road and bridge and waterway construction. It's actually pre-construction team building. So I'm standing in the middle of the room and literally fielding all of the comments from all the construction engineers and subcontractors and owners and operators and all that kind of stuff, and building a team so that they can function at a higher level when they actually get on the job.
You know, this appears to be a weird combination for a person. You know, I've always, as a creator,
I do weird well.
As a creator of things, I've always thought like the perfect person for what I do would be somebody who was capable of truly creating on a schedule, which seems so separate of one another. And it seems to me like when we think of metaphysical and we think of that stuff, we think of kind of up there in the clouds. But it seems like on a business level, you're very detail oriented. And so it's an interesting combination to put that together. Do you find yourself to be very different than a lot of people who do these things? Or do I just have a very big misunderstanding of what this stuff is, you know?
I stand out in the crowd as far as how I do things. Mm-hmm. And I'm very effective at what I do. I mean, I've done stuff for the DOD, Homeland Security, federal highways, municipalities, naval, NAVFAC, and Army Corps of Engineers. And I talk about metaphysical things in the language that they understand. And like getting signatures on the charter and goals and objectives and talking about, being on the same page. And I talk about jobarchy, being the job's the boss and everybody wins. Mm. And so there's this submission, right, to the project. And it's the same thing as if you were submitting to what is, right, where you're asking the appropriate questions and acquiescing to what those needs are.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you ever get a pushback from this more professional side when they find out about your metaphysical side? And
you
also,
know, one would think so, but
the right word.
Yeah.
Correct me if that's not the right word. But
no, pushback's fine. There's all kinds of words that you could interject there.
I meant metaphysical. Is metaphysical the right word?
Oh, I'd say that's probably the most appropriate, it boils down to bringing it back into the physical. And if you can't do that, then you really don't understand it.
I don't. So.
Right.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. And I've worked my entire life to be able to do that, starting out, really young with the voice and hearing things and having experiences and then having out-of-body experiences and then trips to an orange cigar-shaped cloud during the night, a couple of years from the time I was 8 to 10, then an NDE at 18 that was just so profound as, the feeling that I had when I went into the light was, first of all, I realized I could think so I wasn't dead. And the next thing was that it had this iridescent, effervescent feeling, along with a really interesting frequency that kind of put it all together. So then coming out of that, that was in college in 1975. It was actually less than a week later than Travis had his experience, and we actually met years later and were friends. But then going from there to bringing that understanding back into a practical sense, and trust me, initially I was, it was a challenge. I ended up not necessarily because of what I was talking about, but I got beat up at a frat house one night, ended up in the hospital. My parents decided that it was time to kind of shelter me for a little bit, so I ended up in the psych ward for a while.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't real pleasant, but I learned a lot from that and came out of it with severely depressed self-esteem and confidence level, and then built that back up again because I was an extrovert in high school. I did halftime shows on a trampoline in front of 5,000 people, right? So to return to that then gave me the impetus to really practice all the things that I learned and figuring out, okay, how do I need to do this? What do I need to learn? What kind of questions do I need to ask in order to garner the answers that I really need? And it boils down to the best questions, you know, get the best answers. And you've got to be willing to test your truth. You got to put it on the chopping block and whack away at it. What stands, stands. What doesn't, you got to let go. And too often, you know, we tend to cluster all of that and carry it forward with us when some of it doesn't work and there's cognitive dissonance that we don't recognize until we have an experience where it shows up and went, oh, well, I thought this and, you know, but it's actually that, or I believe this. And then I find out that, oh, I'm getting in my own way. Right. And so that's where the break between the metaphysical and the physical comes in, because we don't know how to fully condense into form.
Right.
One of the things I learned in the NDE is that we're cosmic consciousness condensed into form. We don't actually realize it, but we're becoming aware of that. Quantum physics is now kind of starting to prove that. So science and spirituality are starting this dance that's really wonderful, because it's proving each other. And unless we can do that, then neither really have value.
So let me ask you this. I know it's going to be a straight up question, and I understand that there are not straight up answers to some of these questions, but when we say that we're cosmic consciousness, does that mean humans, or does that mean all of us? Like, is my dog somehow a part of this? Is this a connection of all life?
Well, we're all connected now.
Consciousness.
Everything is connected. You know, don't trust that atom. They make up everything. Right? But the space in between is where the action takes place. That's where consciousness is. And so we're all connected through that. Now, we have the ability of actually being cognitive and participatory, because that's how we're built. And that as we find out more, I'm of the impression that we have those genetic codes for higher capacity sensory perception, for instance, that turn on once we reach a certain level of activity in the world, where we've balanced our own ability and mindset and heart, mind, and you know, all of those kinds of things. And it really starts in the first brain, from where the indigenous traditions start. You know, they talk about first brain, it's the gut, it's your intuition. That's where everything's connected, the vibratory realms, right? You can't think your way through a system built on vibration. You have to feel your way through it. So that's where it starts, is in the gut, and then we process upwards. Most of us start above the shoulders and forget about the body. We never pay attention to it.
Right.
And it's a transceiver. So all of this, you know, if you can imagine a point of light being is what we're condensed into, but it permeates every cell in our body. Now, on the other hand, that point of light is still connected to the great light, from which we go back and forth throughout many lifetimes. So, and as we garner that understanding, then it allows us to actually participate more in the reality that we create. Most of us think we don't create anything. We just have to deal with what's in front of us. Well, it's a dance, you know, and the more self-aware you become, the better dance there is. You can ask for things and they'll show up, you know, and be careful what you ask for.
Thank you. Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio.
And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
On his living room floor in the back, there was probably 35 people in the room. And he talks to a few other people in his transmedium state. He walks around, eyes open. And he walks up to me and looks me square in the eye, or square in the eyes, and said, "You're still looking for your parents, aren't you?" All right, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm adopted. I'm looking for him. And they're like, "How the hell did you know?" Right?
All right.
And so I said, "Well, yeah, I kind of am. I've given up my terrestrial search because I exhausted it. And I, you know, gave it up to the celestial." And he said, "That's great. But you'd still like to know who they are, wouldn't you?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Would you like to know their names?" And I said, "Well, sure." And so he says, "Okay, they are..." And is all I heard, right? I blocked it.
Oh, really?
Huh. So all I heard was the beginning. So I had to turn to my daughter afterwards. I was embarrassed because I wanted to have this interaction, right? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't because I didn't hear it. I didn't want to say, "Excuse me, could you repeat that?"
Right.
Yeah. You're standing right in front of me.
Right.
And I turned to Crystal and I said, "Crystal, what did he say?" And she says, "Ashtar and Athena."
What?
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I fought with that for a number of years and finally had to acquiesce to the possibility. I still didn't understand exactly how, but I acquiesced. So 10 years later, or actually a little more than 10 years later, I'm speaking at a conference, and the gals that are running the conference call me up at the end of it and announce me as Ashtar Nathan. Totally unexpected. And here it is, you know, 250 people in the room from around the world gathered to talk about ETs and contact and all that kind of stuff. And yet part of me is like, okay, I guess I'm ready. And it felt all right. But there, you know, it's like, okay, I'll step up. Don't know where it's going to go. And then that was in October of 2000. So February of the 2001, I've been having IRC chats. And after a chat one night, it was on a Tuesday, February 13th, I go to bed, but I'm still, my mind is just, you know how you get when your mind is just vibrating. It's like you've been to a concert and you're still hearing the, you know, being in your ears.
Right.
Yeah.
So I open my eyes and I'm on board. I'm a stage, and there's an auditorium with 300 different ETs sitting, bodies, all kind. It just was bizarre. And I'm emceeing, introducing people, talking about the sequence content and what they've been doing. And, you know, introducing the various things that would come up and explain their side of things. And this happened four nights in a row. And at the end of it, I'm given this plaque that I drew. I've never had one made, but it was like their symbol of thank you. So that's what the book is about. It is what they shared with me. Now, I realize that could be just a totally incredulous event, right? And to a lot of people would seem that way. Now, it was so real and evidenced a decade later by Grant Cameron, because he started doing the research, you know, looking at all the patterns and how things were transpiring and the cycles of contact and the types of contact and all that kind of stuff. So it was like, okay, you know, it's filtering through. Those are the kinds of things that are evidentiary that can lead us into some new awareness. And the resistance is to actually talking about that openly without the dismissal and the denial and the core of the listener, right?
Right.
Just opening up to the possibilities. And it's kind of cool. One of my LinkedIn contacts, Dudley Lynch, who wrote several books, one called Strategy of the Dolphin and another called Mother of All Minds. He does corporate organizational surveys, right? And he wrote a review for me after some work I did with him. And he called me Possibilities Coagulator. Wow, man, that's differentiating, you know, because you think about coagulation, right? You bring things together. And so essentially what we do is we bring from nothingness, we've called it ether, we've called it whatever, right? Precipitation, I think, is another word that's used. But we have that ability. Sometimes it takes longer. One of the things that happened for me, as an example, 1990, I'm starting the show. I have two guys that I want to emulate, Bill Moyers and Jeff Mishlov. And I hoped at some point to be worthy of an interview with one of them. 28 years later, Jeff reaches out to me through Ufology Press with a voicemail. I recognize his voice and I'm like, wow, you know, and he'd had a interview with Jason Giordani about the Greys, and he thought my audience would love it. And so he reached out to me. And so I watched the interview, wrote an article, posted it, sent the link to him, sent a PDF copy of this book right here, Stubbing My Toe on Purpose. 3 days later, he writes back, hey, would you like to come talk about it? Huh. So for the first time ever, I got to talk about the New World Order in the way that I understand it. And it was his suggestion. So we talked about all the frequency and differentiation, all that kind of stuff. Then the second interview was on the sociology of ufology. And the third was on hearing voices, right? Because we all hear them. Sometimes, usually they're our own, but sometimes they're not. And we've got to realize that, you know, in this, you know, thoughts are not substance, right? They can go through anything.
Right.
And those that have the ability to think, or at least consider that telepathy is an option we want to explore, there are things that can happen. Bilocation, even teleportation. I've had experiences of all of those. So I know they're possible. Now, the repeating of the teleportation, I don't even care at this point because it's not necessary. But being able to show up and talk to people in college, my first experience with bilocation, we'd had a small cadre of people that were telepathically inclined. So we did a bunch of experiments. And one night, this guy's name's Gary, he had gone at the end of the previous school year, he'd gone to Canada to spend the summer with his grandfather. He hadn't come back yet, and we were 2 weeks out of winter quarter. So I'm, you know, I got to reach out. I've been calling his parents to find out when he was going to be back. They didn't know. So I lay down. I put the music on, and you might remember these, a band called White Witch, and to a song called Help Me Lord. And so I laid down, closed my eyes. I went through the process of imagining his face and looking into his eyes. That's how we initiated our communication, right? And so then I imagined grabbing him by the shoulders and standing him up in front of me. So I move back. I can see his entire body. We begin the conversation, and then the girl that we both hung out with entered the previous year, entered the conversation. We hadn't heard anything from her since the previous year at all. So we have a conversation, and then the song ends. I come back, and that was a Saturday morning. The following Friday, I call his home to see if he's home yet. Out of breath, and he says, man, is you on the phone? So I ran in. I just got home. I'm like, cool. All right, we're still connected. So I go over to pick him up. A couple hours later, we have a short conversation with his parents. We get out in my car. I turn to him and I said, hey, did you catch any flack last weekend? Shut up. And he looks at me and says, yeah, you son of a bitch. You woke me up out of bed. And I'm like, what? He said, yeah, I was sound asleep. I felt somebody grab my shoulders, sit me up in bed. I opened my eyes up. There was your face. Behind your face was Carolyn's. We talked for a while. You split. I went back to bed. Week and a half later, he got a postcard from a Krishna camp in California. Their standard, you know, postcards had all the addresses up and down the coast. It had Santa Barbara circled, and on the back of it, in Carolyn's handwriting, enjoyed the conversation.
Ah, that's wild.
I was in Muncie, Indiana. He was in Canada. She was in Santa Barbara.
Huh. Now,
and I was 19.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So knowing those things are possible and then going into a professional life, that's a real challenge because you know how things can be. But when we go in and cancel the butt, and when we go into the professional world or marriages, relationships and things like that, then we have attachments and responsibilities that we are afraid of not fulfilling.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
When you're looking out at pets in your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
And then we've talked about, and then the Greys came up, you know, so when we're talking about extraterrestrials, are we talking about physiological beings, or are we talking about energies, or are we talking about both?
All the above. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many, here's an example. William Swigard, I'll refer to him again, he figured out how to do the multi-plane or multi-level awareness, and then there's also a multi-plane awareness that it's a process that takes you through nine planes of consciousness and integrates the bodies that you have on each one of those planes. Now, I have a recording of that that your listeners can find on if they just search for solfeggio and multi-plane. That video will come up. It's an hour and 20 minutes long, and it's a wild ride, I have to say. So knowing that creation is multi-tiered or more multi-layered, it's kind of broken down in bandwidths like frequency ranges. And each one of those frequency ranges has a certain permeability and materiality on those levels. So the the closer we are to the physical dimension, there are those who have advanced technology that can travel and have remained in physical form. And then there are other dimensions where there are less constrictions on the materiality, and consciousness can actually or is malleable enough and presentable enough that it can take whatever forms necessary in order to communicate with us.
And so theoretically, we're getting all kinds here on Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
But not theoretically.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm evidence of it. And I know there are others like me.
Sure.
Probably not willing to come out and talk like I do, but, you know, that's happening.
I like to couch it in those terms because, you know, we get lots of guests on. They have lots of different things. I don't want to, oh, God, someone else is going to listen, a past guest we've had, and they're like, oh, that's not right. And I'm just like,
You're designed to actually explore the weird.
Yeah. Right?
You relish the weird.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Exactly.
Or what the world labels as weird. Weird because everybody's Everybody's got their own brand of weird that, you know, and I like them all. So, you know, one thing that I'm always interested in, and Andrea knows this. Oh, I did want to ask you this. I'm a musician. You're a musician. You talk a lot about frequencies and planes. Does music have a higher purpose, a higher influence or something because of these frequencies, or is that just a parallel that you're using to help explain it?
Oh, no. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, music is the language of the soul.
Sure, yeah.
Right? That's true. Oh. You know, you have guys like, classical composers who were blind and still wrote amazing music, and it moves us like unimaginably so.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Beethoven was deaf. He had to lay his head against his piano.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. I was talking about Beethoven. I'm deaf, yeah, right? Yeah, kind of hard to do when you're blind. But, you know, those kinds of things. Luba, my wife, her early training, one of the first things that they taught her was the solfeggio scale. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't use that. And now I do use the solfeggio scale in that multiplane awareness technique because it fits. There's nine tones. It fits with the nine planes. Even Howard Nepi and Vernon Nepi and Edward Close came up with a model of consciousness called the triadic dimensional distinction vorticular paradigm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
TDVP for short. Right. And so they, and these are physicists, one is a medical doctor, one's a physicist. And so they say that consciousness, space, and time are tethered across nine dimensions. So there's that nine dimensions again. So what I find is that the more you can find relation, the more likely it is that it is so.
Right.
Well, maybe that's the problem with society today, because I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard in ancient Greece that the Ionian mode of the major scale was the mode that they considered to be the one that could cause insanity, and that's what most music is written in today. So, you know.
440 instead of 432, in other words.
Yeah.
Good talk.
You know, I don't know. Oh, we lost Kara.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. We are pretty much at the end here, and I do want to make sure that there is a chance for you to tell our audience where they can find out more about you and get their hands on your books. I assume that they can get them at Amazon, but is that the preferred place for them to go?
That's probably the best place. I do have my personal website, zenbenefiel.com, has most of what I do on it. And it's got buttons across the top with different websites and all the different things that I do.
That's your hub.
Yeah, that's kind of my hub. I eventually, I was talking with a guy named Winifred Barton up in Canada years ago, and it was back in 2000. She says, you know, we need to make, you know, like personal profile websites. And I resisted it for a long time, finally did. And there's also a page on there that's, I think in the menu, it says PIF, which stands for paying it forward. And I give away half a dozen different titles from that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You know, I've really had a lot of fun talking to you because, you know, I don't know. I like a deep thinker, and Zen, you're a deep thinker. And I've had a lot of fun talking to you. So hopefully we asked good enough questions that you felt that we inspired you to think deeply for us. And hopefully if ever, you know, you got a new book coming out, you think about coming on Radio Wasteland again.
Well, one that I just published was the Ufology Press compilation. So it's almost a decade worth of blogs, which is all kinds of different considerations and experiences and things like that. It's 8 by 10, 250 pages.
Oh, that's a commitment. Yeah. I mean, to create, it's a commitment.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just once that creative, whether it's music or writing or, websites, graphics, events, I mean, I've been involved in huge, 250,000 patrons at one event that I helped put on here in Tempe for a decade.
Oh, I used to live
one night.
I used to live in Tempe. I lived in Mesa.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm talking about the New Year's Eve block party, right? And I was one of the coordinators for the Tempe Arts Festivals. I had 350 vendors and 20 food vendors in my area.
Awesome. Awesome. I loved living down there. One of my best friends from growing up heads up a tattoo shop down there. And I hope that when all this is over, I'll be down there again. So maybe we'll see each other in person.
You better.
Yeah, you've been listening to Ben Zen Benefiel here on Radio Wasteland. Again, your website is zenbenefiel.com.
Correct.
And that last name is spelled BENEFIEL.com. And again, thank you very much for being on.
Well, thank you, Chauncey, for the opportunity. It's a pleasure.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.